Well, our family has deep roots on the land of the Lakota clan of the Sioux Nation, Native Americans who first encountered our Creator God in the territory now known as South Dakota, named in their honor. And the city in which I was raised, by Barry and Vanette here, Sioux Falls, was named after the Sioux tribe as well. And I proudly wore the word warriors across my chest in high school basketball without much knowledge of all of what it truly means to be a warrior. But Scripture gives us insight into just what it means to be a warrior in God's kingdom. Now you might be thinking, what in the world does this have to do with Advent and Christmas, sir? How can a history lesson about the Lakota Sioux prepare my heart for the coming Savior away in a manger? Well, God has a way of using unexpected messengers to deliver good news. From a naked prophet named Ezekiel, who slept on a pile of dung, to John the Baptist munching on grasshoppers, we learn to expect the unexpected from God. And on this third Sunday of Advent, in which we light the candle of joy, we hear joyful messages delivered by a wise Lakota medicine man and a prophet named Zephaniah. At first glance, the prophet Zephaniah, well, his mood is neither joyful nor triumphant. In fact, the first 2.5 chapters of his short 3-chapter book does little to put us in the holiday spirit. Zephaniah served God in very perilous times in Israel. He was called by God to serve a nation reeling from a series of kings whom the Bible suggests did evil in the sight of the Lord. King Manasseh and his successor, King Amon, led God's people away from the godly reforms that were brought to Israel by good King Hezekiah. Manasseh led the people back into idolatry and injustice, ignoring the prophets sent by the God of Israel, who was angered by greedy leaders, who ignored the needs of the most vulnerable in Israel. Scholars believe that the prophet Zephaniah began his ministry around the time King Amon was assassinated, paving the way for a young son, Josiah, to ascend to the throne. And as Josiah prepared to ascend to the throne, Zephaniah heard a warning siren from heaven. And in response to this siren, he wrote these words: "The sound of the day of the Lord is a bitter sound. The warrior cries aloud there, sounding a day of coming distress and anguish, a day of darkness and gloom for the idolatrous priests who profane what is sacred and practice injustice with no shame. The kings of Israel of those days were said to boast of their riches, while the poor and needy, the widow and orphan, the outcast and alien were left destitute, helpless and without hope, their cries awakening the warrior heart of God." And Zephaniah is not the first to describe God as a warrior. There are some 26 passages of Scripture describing God this way. And if we look deeply into these verses, we discover one characteristic that is always present in the heart of our warrior God. Many in our culture are haphazardly awarded the moniker warrior. Just this week, as my beloved Vikings clung to their diminishing playoff hopes, with a nail-biting win that took another 5 years off my life, they did so on the back of injured running back Dalvin Cook, who rushed for 200 yards and 2 touchdowns, wearing a harness to protect his separated shoulder. After the game, head coach Mike Zimmer summed up Cook's performance by calling Cook a warrior. a fierce competitor who leads by example. Now, there are some in our nation's history, some brave souls, who might take exception to awarding the title warrior to a football player earning millions of dollars to play a game on a Sunday. I wondered this week what Sitting Bull, the great medicine man who led the warriors of the Lakota Sioux tribe in the 19th century, might think about that. Sitting Bull was once asked to explain the role of a Sioux warrior, and his answer might surprise you. Sitting Bull suggested that a warrior is not someone with a desire to kill. A true warrior understands that no one has the right to take another life, said Sitting Bull. The warrior is not one whose focus is on taking lives, but instead putting his life at risk for the good of others. Sitting Bull said that in the Sioux community, a warrior's chief task is to care for the elderly, to protect the defenseless, to care for those who cannot provide for themselves, and above all, care for the children, the future of humanity. This was the motivation of the Sioux warriors in the Battle of the Little Bighorn in June of 1876. You may remember that battle as Lieutenant Colonel George A. Custer prepared U.S. Federal Troop Battalion No. 7 to attack the Northern Plains Indians led by Sitting Bull. The U.S. was engaged in a campaign to remove these tribes from their lands and force them onto reservations. And in 1876, the U.S. issued an ultimatum requiring the Sioux to give up their beloved Black Hills of South Dakota. This was a sacred place for them. They were commanded to give up that land or the government would cease supplying rations and aid to the tribes already struggling to survive on the reservations. Sitting Bull decried the injustice in this transaction, believing the Sioux would not survive under the control of leaders who cared little about them. So in the late spring of 1876, he led the hungry Sioux tribe off the reservation and back onto their buffalo hunting grounds just in time for the summer hunt essential for their survival. When Custer found out about this, he was sent to capture and relocate the Sioux back to their reservations by any means necessary. And Custer's field strategy carried a heart of injustice that awakens the heart of the Sioux warrior. His plan was to capture and kidnap the most vulnerable members of the Sioux community, the women and children, the elderly and disabled, and hold them hostage until the warriors surrendered and relocated back to the reservations. But Custer greatly miscalculated the heart of these warriors. And when the dust cleared, not one of Custer's 7th Battalion, including the general, survived the fury of a warrior's heart to protect the vulnerable. And what we learn in Scripture is that from the Dakota Prairie to the dusty hills of Israel, one truth remains constant. When the vulnerable of our world are at risk, God raises up warriors whose hearts burn to bring justice. And Zephaniah's ministry came on the heels of the prophet Isaiah, whom God raised up to speak against the unjust practices of King Manasseh, whom the prophet denounced as one who makes iniquitous decrees, writes oppressive statutes, and he turns aside the needy from justice, and he robs the poor of their rights, making widows his spoil and orphans his prey. These are the words of prophet Isaiah. But Isaiah prophesied of a warrior who would be coming soon. He declared, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and he will establish and uphold his kingdom with justice and righteousness. And Isaiah asked, what will you do on the day of his coming? And this question posed by the prophet Isaiah is timeless. And on this third Sunday of Advent, it provides an invitation for us to examine our hearts. I know studying Zephaniah this week caused me to have moments where I examined my own heart. Moments where I repented of ways that I sometimes get comfortable in my lifestyle. Sometimes I forget the vulnerable in our community when I get focused on myself. Good thing there is grace for us and mercy and a God who understands right where we are and meets us with compassion, but also encourages us to move towards his heart for those in need. The consistent message of Zephaniah and all God's prophets is a call from a warrior God to awaken our hearts, our warrior hearts, to who God created us to be, to remind us of who we are at the core of our being. Each one of us has within us a warrior heart. Scripture tells us that you and I are made in the image of God. And the God whose image we reflect is described as a warrior by Zephaniah and others. And if this is true, then it is also true that each one of us carries the heart of a warrior ready to be released in the world with courage and compassion, compelling us to care for God's most vulnerable children. And if you look around, I think you would see that this warrior heart is alive and well in our community this Advent season. This season, you may have noticed folks in our midst serving meals to those who are homebound, providing funds for the homeless, gifts for children and families who can't afford them. Those bikes lined up in the hallway outside are not there because we are holding tryouts for a River Oaks BMX racing team. Sounds fun, but I've heard there can be injuries from that. Those bikes are the picture of warrior hearts, eager to share from our abundance to care for our sisters and brothers in need. And the warrior heart of God is not limited to gift-giving. In the kingdom of God, there are warriors without an abundance of financial resources who choose instead to offer their time and talent. There are warriors without an abundance of physical strength who choose instead to meditate and pray and seek God, being still and knowing that God lives and moves through us, releasing love and healing and peace and joy to the world through our praise and our prayers and our worship. And the words and the prayers from a warrior heart have the power to foster change in our world, to change our atmosphere. Just as we see in the book of Zephaniah, where to our great surprise and delight, after 2.5 full chapters of doom and gloom, in response to greed, idolatry, and injustice, we see a radical shift in the tone of prophet Zephaniah. After pages describing impending judgment and wrath, we discover that the heart of our warrior God was never to destroy the people and the nations caught up in unjust practices. No, God's heart was and is to purify them. God has no desire to punish. The warrior's heart is to heal, restore, and transform the world into a unified family who serves God by serving one another, especially the most vulnerable, with compassion and care. Zephaniah cries out, "Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you, turned away your enemies, even those at war within you, taken away your shame. Injustice gives way to great justice and righteousness, and the people are filled with great joy as their shame falls away. And then Zephaniah goes on to say that the people are not the only ones filled with joy. Zephaniah sees our victorious and joyful Savior gathering in our midst, in the midst of our assembly. He says, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing." Did you know that the one who loves you and died for you also loves to sing over you? Have you ever heard his voice? Did you know that our joyful warrior does not hold back 1 ounce of exuberant joy in this expression of bounding love he has for you? The Hebrew words used in this passage, in Zephaniah 3:17, and used elsewhere in the Bible, describe unabashed, unrestrained jubilation over you. Like when God rejoiced over beloved Jerusalem as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride. The same words were used when David's warrior heart awakened in the presence of God and he danced in front of the ark in his underwear, not caring what anybody thought about it. The same word is used when Miriam and her friends sang and danced wildly with tambourines in the joyful presence of the Lord. And when Mary discovered she was carrying the warrior child in her womb and burst into joyful song, singing, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My heart rejoices in God my Savior, for he lifts the lowly, and he has done great things for me as well." And this same joy that was in all of those biblical heroes, this joy unspeakable is in you. It's in us, ready to be released into our families, into our communities, and into our world this holiday season. And so as we close, I believe there is an invitation to respond to our joyful warrior within, awakening our hearts to release his joy to the world. O come, all ye faithful warriors, this Advent season. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us be awakened to joy unspeakable, full of glory. Amen.